Been trying to sing together for a while. Appreciate Miss Rita's patience with me. I have a real practice problem, and I won't admit it publicly. And so I appreciate her willingness to run through the song only once. And I told her if you run through the song more than once, it's tough after that for me. So anyway, but what a great song! If you know, I don't know, if most of you heard that song before. That's an oldie but a goodie. Unworthy. So good to have Brother Doyce come and preach for us tonight. And the ordination yesterday went fantastic. And we had a good crowd of our church there yesterday. I know Saturday's a tough time, and to be able to get here with all the various sports and other things going on. We had a good crowd of our crew here to represent our church. And we voted yesterday as a church to ordain him. It's not the preachers that ordain. It's not the pastor that ordains. It's the church that has the authority to ordain. And now the pastors are the one who grill him and make sure, and they're the ones that recommend him to be ordained to the church. And it was the church yesterday that voted to ordain Brother Doyce. And what a privilege to have such a man to come out of our church family and go to Boise, Idaho. And I'm excited for him, excited for Miss Sandy, excited for little Doyce, and I'm excited for Ashley. I call her several different names. Sometimes I call her Miss Doyce, and sometimes I call her Little Doyce. It just depends on what's going on. And so yesterday I called her by her real name, and she was shocked. It's like, didn't even know you knew my name. I know your name. I pray for you. Amen. Brother Doyce, I've taken a lot of runway. Come on, preach for us tonight. This is their last official night. Now, we may see them again between now and the end of July, but possibly not. So we appreciate them being here tonight. Come on, preacher.
Chapter 24. I'm going to tell you some things, and I hope you guys don't get mad, and I hope you don't leave as I go through them. But just bear with me, and please don't hate me as I tell you these things. I'm not a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. I don't really follow professional baseball. I mean, I know the Rangers are a great team, but I just don't really, I don't dislike it, but I'm not a huge Tex-Mex fan. Horses are big. That's about all I know, and cows are big, and that's all I know about all those things of the ranch. Some people say, why do I stay here in Texas? You guys. Beyond my family right there, you guys are the closest people I have on the face of the planet. Honestly, I mean that. So, why in the world would I leave? Why would I go? I love here. I really do. When my dad died, I can tell you there's three people in this church that I called for help and for guidance. So I can innumerable times tell you when I'm all, got my little storm cloud and I'm just all feeling all bad about myself. In the time the Holy Spirit has moved within the church, somebody's come here and said, well, Doyce, let me tell you this. And I feel better that the Holy Spirit moves here. I love being a part of this church. It is just a joy of me. So, why would I go? In Acts 20, you don't have to turn there, but it said, all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, and they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. I go because the Lord calls me. And a lot of times you hear that, God's called me. And tonight I'm going to preach a little bit, try to get a little more detailed why we go. But it has been my pleasure and my honor to be here for these 6 years. I remember the first time we showed up, we sat right there. And a very nice lady said, well, since you're visitors, I'll let you sit there. And then she moved to another spot. And Brother Clark, Brother England, and Brother Shepherd were the guy who visited me that first night. I talked my ears off, and it's been a joy. So, Luke 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them as far out as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the honor and the privilege of being able to preach here, Lord. I ask for the Holy Spirit to move, Lord, the Holy Spirit to speak, and that your truth be made evident, all things be done to glorify and honor you. I thank you for this honor, this privilege, and this day. In your Son's holy, precious, and wonderful name, Christ, I pray. You think about the situation here, in where we're talking about the Scriptures, where they had expected Jesus to do something. They had seen Jesus. They expected him to be this great guy to come in and flip over the Roman government, that he was going to be almost like a Superman within the nation, and that he would change everything, but he didn't. He got crucified. Everybody had been down. Everybody had felt bad. Everybody didn't know what to do. And now he had come back from the dead, and he's sitting there eating with them. I can't imagine what they were thinking at that time. You think of Peter at the time, previously said, well, we'll build three tabernacles. What do they do? Do they just sit there, and is this the end of it? And look, verse 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the laws of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Now, I would imagine that a lot of people around there thought, well, why did you have to die like that? And time again, he told them in Matthew 16:21, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. But didn't they didn't really listen. He had talked to the two on the road to Emmaus on verse 25. It says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered in his glory? And you think about, you imagine at this time he started bringing their thoughts of in Genesis, where it talks about I would put enmity between thee and the woman, and the prophets of Isaiah 53 and Psalms, Psalm 22, about everything that they had known up to that point started focusing toward Jesus. All these great significant events in their past started coming back to them. In verse 45, it says, then he opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And all of a sudden, the people were enlightened to the pictures of what was seen in the Old Testament. Who Joseph was, what the serpent on the pole meant, the walk through the walk through the Old Testament was a witness to him. It was not a history of Jewish people, but a narrative of a loving God who would come to die on the earth for their sins. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I can't imagine that time for all these people that had been there, and everything would start to pop in their head. The understanding that was going on. I mean, you think about all the stuff that you learn. When I first started reading the Scriptures, all the little things that I would pick up, and I'll, that's really interesting. Wow, that's cool. Then a couple of times I talked to my mother-in-law, and she had already heard these things 15 years ago. There are examples over and over again, where all of a sudden you just see something, and you open up your understanding to it. And like this, all of a sudden they started seeing things. This just wasn't, why is Joseph so much in the Old Testament? You ever think of a Jew wonders that? Why are we talking about Joseph? Why this? Why the serpent? All these things. And all of a sudden, the thought of Christ starts showing up more and more of everything they had seen up to that point. Now, I used to say many years ago that if I would have been there, I'm sure I would have been a good Christian. I'm sure I would have, done this thing. But we have this story. In 2 Peter 1:19, it says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, wherein do ye well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, and the day dawn, and the dark day star rise in your hearts. We've got the Word of God. You know, it's one of these things that personally, I've been spoiled so much with the Word, I get complacent with the Word. If there was one Bible in the world, we would line up. It would be in the Smithsonian, and we'd come by and take iPhone photos, and we'd talk about it and buy tickets to it. But I have a lot of Bibles. And they get to be so much that, you know, well, yeah, God, I can read there, I can read there. But it's more than that. You think about an infinite God, which is beyond my understanding and beyond my descriptive ability to tell. But He knew when the words were penned that we would be talking about it today. And one of the amazing things about this is He doesn't just write it to mankind. He writes it to you. Specifically. Everybody. I mean, He's writing down individually to you. And He wants you to read this word. These words that come on, they aren't just, you know, and lo, the people. That's not what it is. It is a letter to you, a big letter to you. Everything that you need to know and need to understand. And He's writing this. And the Jewish people were hearing Jesus. Oh, wow, this is amazing. Listen to all this. But we have more than that. We have everything up until... We know what was in the mind of some of these people. And we also have more than that in the world today. We have in Ephesians 4:11, it says, "And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ." God gives us people to help. He gives us pastors. Pastor truly is God's gift to the church. It's an amazing thing to me that he puts men in these positions so that they can teach, they share these words, that we can bring these words. When you first get saved, the book is huge and all the words are in there. But they give us pastors so that He can teach us and He can show us and enlighten and gives us teachers that we can learn these words. We have so much more. 1 Peter 1:12, it says, "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which the angels desire to look upon." That's an amazing thought to me. That the angels are going, now what are they doing down there? You know, there's always this picture of this comic book idea of what an angel is. And we have the scriptures. It's so great of what they have. Now I can tell you something else I used to say. Well, you know, those guys were with Christ. You know, I'm just a guy here in the States and I don't, you know. But we have something more. We have the Holy Spirit. John 16:13. "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you." Have you ever been reading the Word of God and say, "Wow, I haven't seen that before"? Now, how does that happen? How does that occur? You see, all these people talking about them, I have a very bad habit of, I like to read religious news articles and then scan the comments in the internet, which is a horrible thing to do, and don't do it. Because everybody's so angry and everybody's so mad. But you see some of these things. What'll drive me crazy is illogic. If something is understandable, it is understandable. And everybody should understand that with me, because, you know, I understand it and everyone else should. And I'll read these things and I'll just, you know, the little veins will start pop, you know, and I don't know why they do it, but their eyes are blind. More so than that, we've got the Holy Spirit and He enlightens us to what we see. And it's a beautiful, wonderful thing what we can show and what we can bring. You know, you see some people. I heard a guy on the radio one time talking about David. Well, what do I worry about David fighting a giant? What does this oldie moldy guy have to do with me? And he's just lost. You think about God in this, not the story of David, but the story of God empowering a young man to slay a giant with just a stone. And that's what the Holy Spirit gives with us. We have these things. We can walk around in the world. We can witness to people, which I'll get more on that later. But you know, even though we can overcome who and what we are, the fact that I'm standing here talking today is a miracle. Because I am the... When I was a kid in high school, I would take the zero rather than do the book report. I really would. I would just... I had no desire at the thought of standing up in front of people. You just... And here I am. Now I know I'm no Pastor Crawford. I'm not nothing. But the fact that I'm able to do it is just a wonderful thing. And God's given me the power to do it. God's given me the ability to speak. He's even slowed my speech down where I can actually speak at human speed nowadays, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Yeah, when I first started, they let me teach a memory verse. Man, I packed about 45 minutes within 2 minutes. Man, it was great. But verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it was written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer to rise from the dead the third day. That thus is one of those huge words at the beginning there. The whole of the scripture led up to this point. Every verse, every picture, every example led up to that point. The shadow on the cross was over the whole of the Old Testament. Why was Joseph such a large section of Genesis? Why was there such great detail on the tabernacle of law, of everything they did? Why was there dark and it comprehended it not? I mean, why was all that? Because it pictured Christ coming to us. And it said there, and it's behooved Christ to suffer. There was, it led us to the necessity of Christ to suffer. In Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. And to be raised from the grave, he's a victor over death. Death has no hold on God, for Christ is God. 1 Corinthians 15:55, it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is law, but thanks be to God, which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of Christ on the cross shows the glory of a holy, living God, and it's the apex of the Scriptures. The fact that Christ died for us is an amazing thing. I don't see how it works. Why would an infinite, holy God care about me? You know, I can do stuff with clay, and I'll make stuff with clay every now and then, and I'll throw it away, and I won't worry about it. And God is further removed from me than I am from that clay. But God so loved us that he died on the cross. And not again, not for man, but for you. I always imagine, always remember that Christ suffered for my sins. Now, he's an infinitely omniscient God. This wasn't a big sin bucket that he got rid of. He went through my sins. All of the ones that I did. Everything that I did went through the mind of God, and however that worked, however he did that, and he suffered for each and every one of them. And he did that for everyone. So if we would just accept him as our Lord and Savior, that we can have fellowship him, we be with him forever. If you look at who we are and how we should present ourselves. I looked up something one time, or recently. If you think about Paul, I've always thought about Paul, because that guy just seems like he was, if there's a guy that you could be like, that was just a guy, Paul. I don't know if I've ever said this before, but could you go bowling with Paul and not hear the gospel? I mean, could you invite him, you know, could you go change a tire and you not hear the gospel from Paul? I don't think you could do it. I don't think you could peel the two apart. If you look at I will read this quickly, and everybody knows how quickly I can read this. If you look at Paul starts off in his letters. Paul, in Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Galatians 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, unto the church of Thessalonians, which is God the Father and the Lord and Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, unto the church of Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Titus, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Philemon, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I hope that I'm never Doyce the engineer. I never want to be that. I never want to be Doris the artist. I would love people to identify me with Christ. I'm okay with being the weird guy. I know everybody's worked, and a couple of times I've had the compliment of where I've worked up to a couple of guys, and they sort of, well, hey, Doris. And then they've gotten louder after. But I want to be that guy. Oh, here comes Doris. She's going to talk about it again. Not that bombastic of, you know, let me just tell you right now how wrong you are and how right I am. But the fact that I love God so very much, it oozes out of me. I smell of the gospel. Everything about me is just everything about me is about the Lord. I remember, again, back when I was, you know, when the Lord should have zapped me. I just tell you right there, I don't see why He just didn't. But He didn't, because He's long-suffering, and here I am. But I remember people used, well, you know, thank God for this. I'm going, what are you? I used to think, you know, you would separate that in your life, and that's impossibility. Anytime you separate something in your life from God, you've pulled it to darkness. You've pulled it away from those things. That everything should be about the Lord. Everything. When I get up to Boise, I don't really am not going to try to be, you know, the great and powerful Doyce the preacher or whatever that is. I have no desire to do that. I just want people to see Christ. I want to be able to preach Christ, to bring the Lord to people. And I know how hard it is. It is a hard, hard thing. You want to bring the gospel to people, and you tell them about it. And it's not like, you know, I've been hyper-judgmental. Well, it's so easy to share. No, it's not. It's hard to share the gospel with people. This is the most important thing in the world. This is the world that we are living in. It is not anything else, but it is the thing that is going on in the world today. It is the gospel getting out to mankind. That is why we are here. That's why the earth is spinning. That is the only reason why God has not ended it yet, is to get the gospel out to everybody. That's the only thing that is going on in the world today. Whether or not my tires get flat, whether or not GM drops 100 points, whether or not there's war, and so it is the gospel that God keeps this world spinning in the way it is, because He does not want anyone to not have, He would not see anyone go to hell. So when we go, when we move, when we talk to people, this is a spiritual warfare. Of course, does anyone ever notice how hard it is to get up on Sunday? Saturday's not too bad. Friday's not too bad. Wednesday, Thursday, Monday. But Sunday, what is it about Sunday that it's so difficult? It is the devil. It is the war. It is what's going on. But we are to bring Christ. We're to bring that and struggle through the difficulties of when we witness, when we talk to somebody. When we bring that holy love of God, because that's what we want to tell them. We tell them we've got the love of God. In verse 47 it says, "And that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Repentance. I love that word, repentance. This is the one the world's against, the one that the devil hates. It's the one that the flesh curls up against. Metanoia. Ooh, Greek. Compunction by implication reversal of one's decision. I thought it was a brilliant illustration of repentance one time. Cookies. I do not repent of cookies. I have cookies in front of me. Now, were I to repent of cookies, I were to turn away from them and not eat them ever again. That is not what I do with cookies. I try to moderate my cookies. I have them and I enjoy them when I can. And most of the time, that's what people do with sin. But we're not talking that. We're talking repentance, that people should turn away from that. In Romans 6:6, "Knowing this, that our old man has crucified him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that hence not we should serve sin." And if that repentance is sought and confession is made, then it's the glorious remission of sin. That Jesus, when He died on the cross, in this thing that He's talking to these people right now, and you see it says, beginning at Jerusalem, that this should be preached, that should be taught. Now, one of the things I used to believe in the days before the Lord is very long-suffering and kept me alive, that I thought, well, that's more of a descriptive thing than a prescriptive. You know, it's more just describing what they did, not what we should do. And then you see this word, should. Should is a very, very prescriptive. It tells you, I should exercise. That is a thing that I should do. I should stay away from electrical wires. I should not, you know, put my finger in a socket. Those are things I should do. It directs me for things that are things that I should do. And it says that they should be preached in His name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. That this is what it should be done. Evangelism is Christ, and Christ is evangelism. There is no way that you could ever separate the two. When you bring these things, you know, I just recently talked to a guy about apologetics, and apologetics are wonderful, but the only thing they do is they may open the door, the chance to witness. That's what we want to do. We want to bring the love of God. We want to bring that to people. And it says they're all nations. Now, as soon as you see that, in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Mark 16:15, He said, go into ye all the world and preach the gospel to everywhere in the creature. And you imagine all of these people that Christ is talking to, somewhere I'm in that group. Because somebody witnessed to somebody else who witnessed to somebody else, and from Jerusalem to Europe, to America, and finally one day in Montgomery, Alabama, that's where I ended up. Because it should be taught. And it should be preached. And it says, verse 30 says, it says, ye are witnesses of these things. And it's telling them they've all seen these things. I'll bet that we probably have a better description of what happened than anybody there. We have the four accounts of the gospel. We have all of Paul's speaking of the crucifixion, of the birth of the church. We can go to Revelation. We have the whole of the Old Testament. I've got a phone that I can look up any word in the Bible like that. I've got things that would just... I can imagine Charles Spurgeon said, well, I can do this. The things that I can do, I can get Greek playing on my computer at the house. All the things that we have, and we are witnesses of these things. When we receive the Holy Spirit, when God comes and dwells within us, when Christ was in us and the Holy Spirit is there, and we read these things, and we receive this gospel, we have it, and we hold it, of course we would want to share it with the world. Verse 49, it says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but ye tarry in the city in Jerusalem until ye be endued from power on high. The promise. Then it was unknown, but now we know what it is. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is just such a... When it describes Him as a comforter, that is just such a description of it. I don't understand why it's not a booming voice in my head.
Turn that off the TV now. Don't say that.
That's what I would imagine it would be. When it's in your head, oh, okay, I won't do that again. But it's not. And I know you've heard me say this before, but it's no. An infinite, holy, righteous, loving God living within my sinful body going, no. Stop. Just don't do that. And you want to talk about long suffering? That's amazing to me. How in the world, again, blue smoke, and that's all I was. And I can't imagine God restraining, but He gives us that. And we have that. We have that loving, comforting Spirit with us to guide us and help us through the world. In verse 50, it says, and He led them as far out as to Bethany. He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they continually... And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. And then Peter came in Acts. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be ye known this and hearken to my words. And from Peter and the apostles in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many nations, count thou to commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. So, why in the world would I ever leave Heritage? I love Heritage. It is just, you know, this is my family away from my family. Because God has come, you know, God's told me to go to Boise. You know, I hate leaving, but then God's given each one of us. He's indwelled. When we are saved, when He accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He's given each of us that Holy Spirit that we should go out, we should reach, we should desire to press the world. You know, I'm going to Boise. You might go to next door in your room in your house to talk to a loved one, to let them know. Might go across the street. Might be the old cranky person that you see every day. I don't know where, but that's what we have, and that's what we want to carry, and that's what we want to bring. Because when we get through it, when this goes away, that's what we're going to carry with us. That's what we're going to bring. That's what we're going to take with us to heaven. And when we get to heaven and we get to fellowship for eternity, that's what we're going to be talking about. That's what we're going to bring to everybody. That's what we want to take. Let us stand and pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for allowing me to present Your Word today. Lord, I thank You so much for the truth. I thank You so much for Your Son who died on the cross for You. I thank You so much for this church. I thank You so much for this church family. I thank You so much for my pastor, Lord. You have blessed me in so many ways that I cannot count. I thank You for all this. I thank You for Your Word. In Your Son's holy, precious, and wonderful name, Christ, I pray.